you guys are here. And we love your spirit, and you you connect very nicely with this this band of apostolics in New Life. And Brother Riley was telling me a little bit about his heritage and about his past. His grandfather pastored there. The church that he's pastoring has been there for like 85 years. He told me they had a wooden floor, and some people, Brother Dan, accused them of having a dance floor. And I said, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having a dance floor in the house of God? If you got anything to dance about, it ought to be the fact that God has come into your life and he's delivered you. Praise God. But I think we have some things in common with this church in Laurel and with Brother and Sister Riley. And I'm so glad you guys are here. And we want you to come tonight, and we want you to take your liberty, and we want you to just, whatever God has laid on your heart, we want you to share it with us tonight. This morning, there was more moving in the house. The word of God was wonderful. The ministry was wonderful, but there was something so substantive moving in the altar area right now. And that's just goodness and God, but it also has to do with the depth of the walk of God of the man that's ministering to you. And so Brother Riley brings a deep signature as he comes tonight. And I want you to just open yourself up and let him minister in this house. Would you extend your hand toward him right now? Pray for him, the church there in Laurel, for his wife and children. Just bless this man and his household and all that pertains to him.
Can we lift our hands and our voices to the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Please be seated for a moment. Let me take care of a couple of things that I want to take care of. I don't feel the need to take care of it, but I want to take a moment to say how happy we are to be here and to have connected with Pastor Sutton, his family. What a wonderful family. I have just so enjoyed today. It has been special. And we are deeply appreciative for this opportunity. And we've been treated so kind. The hotel room is just wonderful. The basket was phenomenal. I don't know who made the basket. Him? Very good. You need to give lessons on that. It's everything in it. I don't know how you knew it, but everything in it was my favorite stuff. Must have been God. I enjoyed it. It was very good. Everything so far. So far, everything's been good. It was a lot of it. I can't eat it all. I'll take it home and eat it next week. But I have so deeply enjoyed being here this weekend. I enjoyed speaking to the small group of business leaders, owners, entrepreneurial type people. I enjoyed that. I hope that was a blessing to you. I hope it was as much a blessing to you as it was to me. I really feel that I have received more than I have given. And being around Pastor Sutton and seeing the church in action. You know, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of groups, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of buildings, there's a lot of stuff. But I'm not sure all of it qualifies as an apostolic church. But I can honestly say this is a signature apostolic church. Amen. And I'm honored and pleased to be a little part of it. And we do have a lot of things in common, and I'm excited about the future. I'm excited to learn, to grow, and to be a part of what God is doing here in Birmingham, and also expect that there will be some reciprocation on the part of your pastor. So you see, I've been here away this weekend. You're going to have to loan Pastor Sutton to us for a weekend or so. And we need to hear him. His voice is too valuable. It's too great. His anointing, his ministry is needed desperately in the apostolic movement around the world. And I know you know that. But thank you so very much for the invitation. I've enjoyed so very much being here. And I want to commend this church. You're an awesome church to be here. I love your worship. I love your excitement. I love the what you project. I like that. All that's wonderful. All that's good. And all I can say is just keep on keeping on. Just don't stop. I believe there's greater things ahead. I'm excited about the expansion. Pastor's been telling me a little bit about building. Oh, hey, let me tell you something. I love to be around people who have a vision and a desire to do something for God. Not only a desire to do it, but doing something about it. Amen. And I hope tonight that I can add a little bit just a push. You're already doing amazing things, and I hope that I can add just a little extra to what you're already doing. I'd like to turn your attention to Exodus chapter number 3. I want to say how happy I am to have my beautiful wife with me. Love my wife. It's not often that I get to travel with her. When I do get the opportunity to travel with her, it's special. And it's a good time. We enjoy each other's company. We've been married September will be 35 years. 35 years. And she has definitely been my helpmeet, and I do love and appreciate her. And so happy that she is with me here in Birmingham. I told the small group last night, I'm not sure exactly how I got her over here, but I think it may have something to do with the fact that when I travel, I sleep. Doesn't matter if I'm in a car or a plane or it just if I travel, I'm going to sleep. So I think she said, you know what, I better drive him over there. And I appreciate that. And so happy she's here with me. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter number 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, why I have, just give me an explanation here. I got context this week, and I'm trying to use them, and I'm struggling seeing the text on my iPad. If you will, maybe I should just read it from up there. That might be better. I can see that text. I was actually at the point of having like 4 words on each screen. Can I do that? Would that be too bad? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God and called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Verse number 6, moreover he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse number 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and to the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Can we just lift our hands and talk to the Lord right now? Ask the Lord to let an anointing rest in this house. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We know that it's anointed, but we need your anointing today. Anoint every man, every woman, every young person, every child. God, they're your children. They're the apple of your eye. They deserve the very best. God, help me, use me, anoint me, help me, Lord, to minister to your people. Help me to bring this church to another level, to a greater dimension, greater heights in the Holy Ghost. I pray that you help us in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. If you're going to help me, you can be seated. Amen. I am having technical difficulties here today. Somehow I have got... Let's try this again. There we go. When you can't see, it's difficult. Amen. But I want to talk to you today about a message. I've preached this message a number of times. I spent about 3 months with this in my home church. And it is a good church. It is a wonderful group of people. They get a little wild, but I'm going to have to bring them here to get some lessons. I'm going to bring some over here the next time you guys have something and let them see how it's really done. We just thought we got with it. I mean, y'all really get with it. And I like it. I'm not being silly. I love it. I love worship. And we were running one night during the middle of the service, and I was not the pastor at the time. They were making laps around the building, and a fella fell down, and necessity, the guy just put his hands on the guy's back and just leapt over him, and the next guy leapt over him. The guy could never get up, and everybody was just running around. They would just keep... Well, there was somebody sitting in the audience, and they were shaking their head, and they went out and said, "We're not going back to that church. They play leapfrog. They don't really worship. They're playing leapfrog." So you get a little understanding of how we are, and I seen it, and I understood what was happening here tonight. I wasn't lost. I enjoyed it, and we did. We had a hardwood floor, and we made good use of it back in the old church. But, you know, I spent about 3 months talking about what I want to talk to you about here tonight. Hopefully it won't take me 3 months. Hopefully it won't take 3 hours. Hopefully I can get it done in about 15 minutes per segment. And we'll be able to get out of here before bad weather comes. But I want to talk to you about the three dimensions of enough. Three dimensions of enough are the borders, the boundaries of enough. And I'm gonna say that all of you know something about at least the first and second one. You may not know as much about the third one, but hopefully before we get through here, you'll know a little bit more about it. The first dimension of enough can be described this way, and this is one that we're probably the most familiar with. That is not enough. Does anybody know anything about not enough? Come on, help me out now. Not enough? Anybody know anything about not enough? Have you ever been in that place where it's not enough? I don't know about you, but I remember whenever I came to the house of God from out of a cold, dark world, I really was living in the dimension of not enough. Whenever you come to God, you leave the dimension of not enough. The children of Israel were living in Egypt, and as long as they were working and doing all they could, Pharaoh never was satisfied. He constantly was adding more and more and more to their workload. They were never able to give enough. I'm going to trust that you know a lot about this story, and I'm going to be glossing over. I'm not going to give you all the intricate details of the whole Bible lesson, but you understand everything that went on. You know about the 400 years. You know about how it happened. You understand all of those dynamics. But there was a point in place and time where they were so oppressed. The Pharaoh did not know Joseph. He didn't know about the deliverance that God and his people had brought to Egypt and the world. They were not aware of that, and he was enslaving them and making it more difficult. And every opportunity that he got, he made it more difficult. I don't know if you can see the the typology here, but it's not a big stretch and it's no great revelation, but it's very much like the world. Whenever we were born, we begin to make our way out into the world. We begin to go out from ourselves into the world. And as we went into the world, we begin to encounter things and places and situations and people and this person try to define this thing for us and that thing for us. And they begin to, we begin to develop personality. We begin to develop ideology. We begin to develop lifestyle habits and so on and so forth. And in the world, these things will lead you deeper and deeper. They start out as seemingly fun and having a good time and enjoyable things and events and parties and etc. But you don't understand. They're taking you deeper and deeper and deeper into slavery. They're taking you deeper and deeper into the chains and the bonds of sin and corruption and evil. Nobody ever starts out to be a slave. Nobody ever starts out to be an addict. Nobody ever starts out. But I'm going to tell you, the cruel taskmaster of the world, old Satan, Slewfoot the devil, he is never satisfied with whatever you give him. He'll take a young person and they will start out young and innocent and pure, and in just a few short years their life is in shambles. Their morals and their purity and their everything that they had is tattered and torn and broken and shattered, and they're there, and he just keeps calling for more and for more and more. It never ends with just drinking a social drink after work. The devil never stops there. It's okay to just to drink a little bit here, but he don't stop there. He will never stop until you are totally and completely in the clutches of alcohol, a chemical dependency. It'll get you to the point to where your life is destroyed, your home is broken, your marriage is broken, you can't hold a job, everything, because there's never enough. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've escaped that dimension of not enough. If you're here today and you haven't escaped that dimension, you're at the right place. We've got a formula that'll get you out of that. There are a lot of people in this room that have testimonies. If we gave them time tonight, and I don't know them personally, but I just know the dynamics of an apostolic church. There's people in here that were bound by drugs. There are people that were bound by alcohol. There are people who were living an immoral lifestyle. But thanks be unto the Lord, you made your way into the house of the Lord. Somebody preached the gospel to you. You made your way to an altar. You repented of your sins. You received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Evidence by speaking in other tongues. You were buried in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't know about you, but it feels good to be free. If you're free in here tonight, you ought to stand on your feet and be thankful that you've been delivered. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. He is a lie. He is constantly trying. You can be seated. He is constantly perpetuating his lies and his deceit. He is drawing people by the millions. The billions of people are following and chasing after fun and games and happiness and joy and peace. And they're coming up empty, but he just keeps on drawing them deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. If alcohol satisfied, why does the alcoholic have to climb back on the bar stool every Friday night? Why do they have to go back on Saturday night? Why is it that after it's over, it's every day, every waking moment, if they've got a dollar in their hand, they're gonna spend it on whatever they can get to get a chemical fix. I'm gonna tell you, the devil is, hey, don't ever, if you're here, you're a young person, you were in this quiz team, if you're a young person, you're being raised in this church, let me talk to you. You don't ever have to know what that's like. I rejoice with the testimonies of deliverance. But you talking about getting super excited. You let somebody stand up and say, thanks be unto the Lord. And by his mercy and his grace, I have remained unspotted from the world.
Man, that makes me want to shout. Not only can he save you, he can keep you. I don't know who you coaches are that does this quizzing, but keep on. It might get weary, and it might get difficult, and it might get tiring, but just keep on putting the word in their heart. Just keep on putting it in their heart. It is an antidote. It is a... The word of God is like an inoculation against a virus of sin.
There's so much in this dimension of not enough. The adversary gets people trapped in it, and they just keep on hoping for more. They just keep on reaching for more, and he just keeps on pulling them deeper and deeper into the web of deceit. They can never satisfy him. He's never happy. He wants you to go a little bit further. I don't want to glorify these things, but I'm going to be frank. The world's being frank. Well, it's time for us to be frank in the church. It's time for us to be straightforward with people. I believe it's time for the Word of God to confront things. I believe preaching ought to demand a verdict. Whenever we preach in this house, you can't just get up and walk out and be, you got to make a decision what you're going to do with what you just heard. You're not going to wonder about what Pastor Sutton has preached. You're not going to walk away saying, man, I don't know what he was even talking about. He was just talking in circles. I've heard the man preach. Whatever he preaches, the word of God confronts you. It demands a verdict. What are you going to do with what you just heard? The world is doing that. They're coming in your face. The devil and his minions are coming at us, and they're in our face every day. They're demanding that we conform to what they're doing. They don't mind perpetuating their lies. Why should we worry about lifting up the banner of truth? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's time that somebody gets proud to be a child of God. You don't need to duck your head and walk the other way whenever somebody said, oh, there goes one of those holy rollers. You ought to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm so happy that I am. Can I be playing with you here for a minute? Start you out behind the bleachers at school. And hey, man, just take a little drag on this cigarette. Little marijuana here. Everybody, man, over in California, it's legal. You know, whatever. It's no big deal. It's no different than taking Tylenol. Here, it'll make you feel better. It don't stop there. It don't stop there. It goes further and further and further and further. They don't quit until your life is trapped. They don't quit until you're strung out. They don't quit until you're a shell of your former self. We see them. They come in this building and we deal with them. We preach to them. We teach them Bible studies. We meet them on the street. We do it in Mississippi. You're doing it here. I know that. And you look at them. You see them. You can tell that they're strung out on whatever it is they can get their hands on. And I hope I'm not going too far by what I'm about to say right here, but I'm seeing an epidemic of this in apostolic Pentecostal churches. It has touched my world. It has touched my family. Not me or my wife, but it has touched my family. People are getting hooked and strung out on prescription painkillers. I'm just telling you. If the doctor gives you a medication, you shouldn't be offering it to this guy. Oh, you got an ache. Hey, if you got an issue that needs a doctor's attention, let the doctor do it. Don't you go to prescribing it to him. I hope I'm okay. I think I'm pretty sure I'm okay. But I'm just telling you, it's not. We're going into areas that we need to be careful of, because the doctor can start you and stop you and work out things that needs to be worked out. You start giving it to people. You don't know what you're doing. You'll be giving them something, and the next thing you know, they're trapped, they're hooked, and then they're. That's not the will of God.
It's not the will of God. The will of God is what we do around here. The will of God is whenever you come up here and you have a need that somebody can lay hands on you and they can pray the prayer of faith and you can be healed and the Holy Ghost works in your life. I believe that the prayer of faith still works. About 3 weeks ago, is it okay for me to tell this story? About 3 weeks ago on Sunday, it's actually on Monday, we got a call from a good couple in our church, probably 60-ish, and the husband told me, said, "Pastor, I'm taking my wife to the ER. She has the classic symptoms of entering into cardiac arrest, chest pains, a nemesis in her left arm. We're taking her now." They took her all the classic symptoms, and they gave her nitroglycerin and got her kind of settled down, and we're going to get you to a specialist tomorrow. You didn't have a heart attack, but you were in the first stages of having a heart attack. Due to some insurance difficulties, they were unable to do that on Monday. They were scheduling to go back on the next Monday. They gave her nitroglycerin to take home with her and take this medication. And the next Sunday night, we are in our fellowship hall and we're having a meal. We're eating together and fellowshipping. And while we're there, the husband comes to me and says, "Pastor, would you mind coming and praying for my wife since she's hurting again?" I walk over and two or three other people, and the next thing you know, a group of people gather around. We were praying for her, and you know, I just said, "You know, just you need to take it easy. You need to go home. You need to get this seen too." And turned around and went back and continued the conversation that I had. And all of a sudden, I heard this commotion, and I turned around as she fell to the floor. And we have multiple medical people, personnel, paramedics, etc., that were there. They rushed her, an RN. They rushed to her, right to her side. She was laying there. I've seen dead people. If she wasn't dead, I don't know what dead is. And I rushed over there, and we're praying the whole church. There's probably 100 or so people left in the fellowship hall, and there, this wail of prayer is going up. Oh, God! She's a beloved lady in her church, and they're praying for her, and these paramedics are working, and they're feeling for pulse. They're trying to find signs of life. There's no visible signs of life. She's not breathing. They can't find a pulse. I've seen her son-in-law is one of the top medical guys at a big plant we have, and he looked at the other paramedic and he said, "Are you getting anything?" He said, "I'm not getting anything." He said, "Let's start doing chest compressions." It was there was some prayer. When I tell you, the heat got turned up all of a sudden. You could just feel the air get sucked out of that room whenever God's people begin to pray. We're not talking about a few seconds. We're talking a little over 2 minutes elapsed. Not a breath, not a heartbeat. He took his hands off of her. He had his hand right here to feel. And I had my hand on top of her head. And whenever he moved his hand, I put my hand right under her chin. I'm praying. Everybody's praying. They started doing chest compressions. Chest compressions aren't going to start your heart. They're not going to make you need the paddles. You need the electric shock to make that heart start going again. But all of a sudden, her eyes flickered open, and I'm not trained. I don't know anything. Under my middle finger, I felt a pulse kick, and then another one. I said, stop what you're doing. She just caught her breath, and her heart's beating. She's set up. She's in church tonight. Don't tell me that God can't do it. I rejoice with the brother. Hey, God can heal cancer. God can bring the dead back to life. Her son-in-law told me, he said, "Pastor, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to try to make this like it didn't happen." He said, "But I've got years of experience." He said, "I've got years of study." It's not like a layman like me trying to say, "Well, she's not breathing or her heart's not beating." We're talking about professionals. We're talking about an RN. We're talking about three paramedics and one that's almost a nurse practitioner. They're there. They're checking all the vitals. It's not happening. No life is there. He said, the ambulance gets there. Sure enough, they said, "Well, you couldn't have had a heart attack. You know, that won't get her back. The heart stopped. You can't get her back. How long? 2 minutes. Oh, no. Is that, you're mistaken. You missed something." They took her to the hospital. They decided to take her to Hattiesburg, about 30 miles away. And all the way there, she talked to him. "I'm ready to go home. Why are you taking me here? I want to do it." They go there and they're running through all the tests. They run through the barrage of the tests. No problem. No heart problem. They said, "You know, maybe it's your gallbladder." Well, I understand a gallbladder can be very discomforting, but it don't make your heart stop beating. It don't make you stop breathing. You don't. the will of God. That's the will of God, that we can lay hands on sick and they recover. It's not the will of God that we just keep on languishing. And I understand there are some things that that's just meant to be. We're not all going to get a miracle. We're not all going to get well. I don't understand all that I know, but I do know this. Every time somebody's sick, we're going to exercise our faith and we're going to pray. I'm adding a new dimension to the church in Laurel. We're going to start ganging up on them and we're going to start praying without ceasing.
So they decided they're going to take the gallbladder out. And the surgeon says, you know, I don't understand all this stuff. I don't know that makes sense on your medical records here about supposed to have a heart attack, didn't have a heart attack, no heart attack. I don't understand all that. He ordered before he would do the gallbladder surgery, he ordered a heart catheterization. Her husband said, well, what do you think, Pastor? I said, I'm not going to find anything. He said, you don't think? I said, I ain't gonna find anything. Because whenever God heals it, it's done. They did anyway. They wanted to do it. They did it. Went in there and looked. I'm standing there. When the doctor comes back in, he's shaking his head. He said, his name is Brim, B-R-E-H-I-M. Good German brother. He said, I don't know why they ordered this. I don't know why. He said, but she's got a perfectly normal heart for a 60-year-old woman. I didn't know why they wanted this or why it happened. I'm going to tell you what happened. The hand of God reached down in the midst of somebody's dilemma. You know God does these things, and we all believe. We just need to expect it more. And I'm off target here just a minute. But it's not right for us as apostolics that every time we turn around we want to administrate some kind of fix it for somebody instead of praying for them. Instead of giving them your leftover medication from your last episode, why don't you offer to meet them at the church and pray an hour? Because this leads you to chemical dependency. And what are we going to do with it? How are we going to get out of this? We're trapped now. We can't get out. And people turned into, that were good people. All of a sudden, they've lost their way. They can't find their way. They're disoriented. They don't know anything. They go to church. They don't even know what happens. Because the ways of Egypt are always taking and never giving anything back. Touched on this a little bit this morning. You know, it's the fashion industry. It happens every day that people are chasing the fashions. They just, instead of just living godly and modestly and doing right, just being modest and living a godly lifestyle, they just chase after the, and they just, it's never enough. You never get through. You just keep on. It's an unending cycle. That is the way it works in the world. But thanks be to the Lord that I'm not in that world anymore. I'm not in the world anymore. God sent a man to lead me out. God sent the word to lead me out. God gave me an exit strategy. Part of that exit strategy was I got sick and tired of living in the world. Huh? Does anybody remember being sick and tired of the world? There's a little element called anarchy. That's whenever you rise up, something rises up inside of you and says, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to keep living this way. I'm tired of being dominated. I'm tired of being enslaved. I want out of this world. I want out of this lifestyle. I want to do something different. Somebody in here needs to let a spirit of anarchy get on. You need to rise up and rebel against the devil. You might have problems
hearing that from a preacher. But there is a place and a time to rebel. There is a proper time to resist. And I'm telling you, when it is when the devil is trying to dominate your life and to ruin your life. You need to just stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm tired of making your brick. I'm tired of making you look good, Pharaoh. I'm out of here. If you're here and you're struggling and you're just, listen, you might as well take the plunge. Don't just sit around on the fence. Don't sit around in the valley of decision. Make up your mind to go all the way. Come all the way into the kingdom of God. Because if you can escape Egypt, there is a wonderful place, a promise. There is another dimension of enough that God wants to carry you to. If you're sick and tired of not enough, it's okay. You're here today. There's people in this room. I know you're here. You're here and you're bound by these things. Before you leave here tonight, you need to be set free. The ability to be set free. The authority is in this building today. All it takes is for you to say, I'm through. I'm tired. I'm sick. God say, God forgive me. Now I'm going to move on for the sake of what I'm preaching here tonight, because I want to talk to the church here. The next dimension of enough is a dimension called just enough. That dimension is represented in the story of the Exodus. Whenever they left Egypt, the Bible said they left with a high hand. I don't know about you, but I remember that Sunday night I got the Holy Ghost. Man, I thought I had the world by the tail on a downhill drag. I was so excited. I felt so awesome. It was, man, anybody remember that feeling that you had? Do you remember that? Was it an exciting feeling? Where is it? What happened to it? You don't need to let it wane. You don't need to let it slip away. You need to be excited every Sunday night like you was that first Sunday night. Don't lose your first love. You're coming in here, and this is not going to take things away from you. This is going to make deposits back into your life. This is going to give you more than you get. This is going to give you more than you give to it. It's going to return great dividends. They left with a high hand. It was a miracle. They all went out. I don't know how many it was, 4 million, 5 million. I've heard all kinds of estimates, but there's a bunch of them. They're leaving Egypt. They're leaving with a high hand. God's doing amazing things in their midst. They're all well. They're all traveling. And they're going. And they get to the Red Sea. And they're looking at the Red Sea. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? God provided a way of deliverance. Can I tell you something? God will always make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll open a door where there seems to be no door. You don't need to worry about what's going to happen. You just need to go. We can overanalyze these things. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do about my family? What am I going to do about my job? What am I going to do about my... You can ask what ifs all day long, but you just need to get up and head for the promised land. You need to get up and say, I'm out of here. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of this world. And it was an amazing thing that happened. The Red Sea parted. They went across on dry land. They get on the other side and they're having a new life kind of worship service. They're dancing and shouting and playing tambourines on the other side. And Miriam was leading the choir and they were singing. And the Egyptians were in hot pursuit and they get in the middle of the Red Sea. God sent angels with lug wrenches. Took the wheels off their chariots. Got them all stranded. Got a traffic jam right in the middle of the Red Sea. And he let it come flooding back in. Let me tell you something. If you will commit to going all the way with God, I'm going to tell you what will happen. All the things that you're worried about in your past, he will drown them in the sea. I don't have time to preach all the little nuances of this message, but whenever you leave, whenever you're baptized, your sins are washed away. Your past is gone. I don't care who you were, what you did, or how you did it. The blood is not transparent. It's a little stretch maybe, but whenever it called it the Red Sea, I'm telling you, it's a Red Sea. Whenever you go down in the name of Jesus, whenever you're buried in baptism, that Red Sea covers those old sins, all those things, those deeds. Everything is gone. The horse and the rider, all of it, every element of your despair is gone. Victory on the other side. This is where the problem comes in. And I may not be preaching it to the right church. Maybe you get it. Maybe you don't have this problem. Maybe it's just in Mississippi. But maybe there's a couple of you in here that are in this dimension of just enough. There was, and I don't know how long it would take. You know, every estimate differs from one scholar to another. But it wasn't a long time. It wasn't 40 years. It was a few weeks, couple of months, whatever. Journey. It wasn't a long way. And so God said, I'm going to take care of you in this transitional period. I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'm going to give you water. And I'm going to give you food. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your needs. You're not going to have to get new shoes. You're not going to have to get new clothes. You just get up in the morning and go out, and there'll be just enough food for each day. Can't get for 2 days. Just get enough for today. Just a day's supply. I'm gonna give you just enough, because you're not, this is a transitional phase. This is not where you're designed to stay. Something happened. Problem occurred. Got a few guys together and decided to go and spy out the land. They began to look and see the land of promise, and they thought, you know, the land of promise is going to be a little bit more difficult than what we thought. I don't know how we can do this. Now, you got to understand, people are eating angel food, drinking water from a rock. Their shoes ain't wearing out. Their clothes aren't deteriorating. They've got a wonderful existence, and they're struggling with whether God can get them to the next level. Here's what happens with people. We get stuck in that dimension of just enough. It's not the will of God for us to stay in this transitional phase of living for Him. It's not the will of God for us to have just enough. He said, I'm going to provide for you, but you don't get to the promised land, and there's a land flowing with milk and honey, flowing with milk and honey, a land of more than enough. You'll have more than you'll ever need. You're going to eat from fields and vineyards that you had nothing to do with. I'm going to provide. It's going to be an amazing thing. I'm going to take you to a place that you could only dream about. Somebody said, oh, he's talking about heaven. I don't believe he's talking about heaven. Hey, can I talk to you here for a minute? If you are still stuck in that transitional period, and let's look at a few things and see if we are. Instead of having faith for miracles, are we having to pray for a miracle to pay our utility bill? I'm not preaching a bogus prosperity, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it kind of phony televangelist message about prosperity. But I'm telling you, it is the will of God for His people to be blessed. Luke records, he said, you're not only going to, if you give up things in this life for the kingdom's sake, you're not only going to get heaven, but you're going to get houses and land in this present time. The Bible said he would make us the head and not the tail. He said his blessings would overtake us. Come on now, where you at? Are you were with me a while ago when I was talking about coming out. You were with me when I was talking about leaving Egypt. You were with me when I was talking about anarchy. You was with me, but are you with me now? Don't stop now. That's what they did. They started looking around and said, I don't know, where do we go from here? There's no looking around in the kingdom. You need to just stay focused and keep moving forward and believe that God will do what he said he would do. Don't hesitate. Don't second guess God. I know. I'm in Alabama. I live in Mississippi. Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, we keep each other off the bottom of all the list. Mississippi ranks number one in only one thing, obesity. We're fat. Alabama's not far behind us, okay? We know how to eat down here. We're not. Can I hear a witness in the house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I go out to California, they want to eat tofu and bean sprouts. I'm like, you're cutting the beans too quick. You need to don't eat them when they're sprouts. Let them grow up. Let them mate. Let them pod. Put them in a bowl. Put some fat back in there with them. Some bacon, some ham hocks. Cook them for a while. Get some cornbread. Then you can get up here on top with us folks from the South. Don't weep for me for living in the South. I feel sorry for you having to eat them bean sprouts. Let them things grow. Wheatgrass. Man, let the horses eat that. Fried chicken. I go to Cracker Barrel sometimes and I order that grandpa's fried whatever it is. And it always kind of messes with my head a little bit. I'm sitting there and I'm eating a fried chicken breast and eggs together. Which goes first, the chicken or the egg? Something a little wrong about that. You're not supposed to eat chicken and eggs at the same time, but I always do. Y'all back up with me now. I got your attention now. I'm talking about food. This dimension of just enough. Is anybody in the building tired of just getting by? Do you want to go somewhere that God said we could go? Do you want to be the head? And not, if you don't want it, it's not going to happen. They walked into the land of promise and they looked around. And you know, it wasn't how the Canaanites seen them. It was how they seen themselves. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We're like nothing. We're like little bugs to them. They can just squash us with their foot. That was the way they seen themselves. I am so tired of apostolic Pentecostal people walking around with grasshopper mentality. It's time for you to rise up and realize, not in our flesh, not in our own personality, but greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. There is a victorious life to live. There is an abundant life to live. But you got to see yourself that way. You can't see yourself like grasshoppers. Because as you see yourself, that's the way it'll be. Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And whenever you apply that principle, and how you see yourself is the way it really is. You have faith that you're a grasshopper. You believe that you're a grasshopper. And if you believe you're a grasshopper, you're going to get squashed. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move to the next level. God didn't intend to bring us out of the world. He didn't intend to bring us out of bondage and get us into this dimension to where we're just praying to pay our car note, where we're just praying to get by. We're just barely. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to shout about manna anymore. I'm not going to shout about clothes that don't wear out. How many? Just let me ask you ladies something. How many of you would like to have the same pair of shoes for 40 years? I mean, a pair of shoes don't last 40 days in the women's life in my world. It's a hazard to open my wife's shoe closet. It's a good place to get killed. I mean, if it starts an avalanche, you better call 911, because there's going to be high heels and flats and pumps and I don't know what all they are. All kind of stuff. My wife, she'll come and she'll say, which one looks best? I'm like, I tried answering a few times. I said, well, that one over there, I like that one. Well, why do you like that one? Well, what about that one looks better than this one? I don't know. I just like that one. It's black. Black looks good. I like black. What do you say? People, I know I might be injecting a little humor here, or I'm trying to, because I want you to go with me, but I'm really being very, very serious. We can get to this point and place in our life to where we're just getting by. These people were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years with the same. Can you imagine? I mean, us men, we're not that much in. Well, I've seen some of you guys around here look pretty dapper. Pretty sharp, and that's good. I like it. But you know, we nobody wants to wear the same shirt for 40 years. Nobody wants to wear anything for 40 years. But that's what they got whenever they were living in the dimension of just enough. They couldn't have a cupboard full of food. They would go out and they had to get it. They got tired of eating it. Do you ever get tired of living the way you're living in this dimension of just enough? You gotta get to the point to where you say, you know what? Somebody needs a spirit of Joshua and Caleb to get on them. Because if the spirit of Joshua and Caleb could get on a few of you, maybe the group that I spoke to around here on Saturday night, if somebody would rise up and say, you know what? We can go. We can do this. We can take the land. There is a dimension that God has promised that I'm. Somebody said, well, you know, we're in an economically depressed world and all this is going on. Let me tell you something. God's not connected to the economy. God's not connected to the Democrats. God's not connected to the Republicans. God's not connected to Washington, D.C. He's not connected to Montgomery or Jackson, Mississippi. He's not even connected to City Hall. God is the author and finisher of everything in the universe. I'm not worried about the political process. I'm not worried about all those dynamics. I can't fix all that myself. Yes, I'm going to do my civic duty. And yes, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to be a good citizen. I'm going to do all those things. But I'm telling you, I'm not dependent on those things to save me. I'm not dependent on the government to bail me out. I'm not. Come on, it's time that we get up and say, I'm going to go claim what's mine. I'm going to. But it's how the biggest problem is how we see ourselves. We can't see ourselves being more than what we are right now. And so we begin to elevate this to a status of honor. Well, we're poor and we're humble and but we're going to live for God and we're going to serve God and we're downcast and we're outcast and we're nothings and we're nobodies. I just don't see that in Scripture. He said, you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. We're the children of God. Did you just hear what I said? We are the children of... Hold on. Say that with a capital G. We are the children of... All of you parents in here, you know one thing. If your baby wants something and it's not going to hurt them, you're going to get it for them. I'm 51 years old. My mom still goes to my church. And if my mama finds out I want something, she finds out I like something, she knows I like Snicker bars and Dr. Peppers. That's living right there now. I'm just telling you, that's more than enough. Thank God they got those 2-for-1s now. You know, those big long ones that got the swivel in the middle. One for now and one for later. Later? What's that? That's like immediately after. As long as there's peanuts and chocolate and caramel and Dr. Pepper, we ain't gonna quit. We ain't going to let that thing get us down. We're going to conquer it. My mom finds out. You know what? You know what she does? She'll ease around and she has them for me. You know why? Because I'm her baby. 51 years old. Mama is still taking care of her baby. If we're God's babies and we're God's children and if we're the apple of his eye and he delights in us, you know he does. You got to start seeing it that way. You got to start believing that God wants you to be the head and not the tail. You got to start believing that you ought to be the top man on your job or whoever you are or whatever you do. God, I don't care if you're digging ditches, you ought to be the head ditch digger. That's the promise. He said, I wish somebody would believe me right now. I'm telling you, we need to get out of this dimension of just enough. We need to release this man's vision in this city. If finances is not a problem, and if finances are not an issue, what kind of revival do you think we could shake Birmingham with? What would happen if when we got down to pray, instead of praying to get by for our next paycheck, God, let me hold on until Friday gets here. Lord, let me make it till I get my check. I'm going to tell you, if we'd stop praying like that and start praying for the lost and praying for the hurting and pray. We're in that dimension of just enough. We're stuck here. We're wandering in circles. That's what they did. They walked around in circles. Have you ever looked at them on the mount? They just made figure eights. They were just walking around. After a while, they looked down. They're like, oh, my Lord. Hey, I was here. 5 years ago, I walked right here. Same old sandal track because it's the same old sandal. I seen right where I stepped on that rock and it cut it right under my left toe. Look, put another one up there. Same shoe, that's me. Hey, look, been here before. We start magnifying our mediocrity. We start battling an enemy called average. And we get used to living this way and it becomes a way of life. We get accustomed to it. And we're just going through it. And we're never reaching for higher ground. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be added. When he said seek first, he's also indicating there's a seek second. There's another dimension. There's something else there. God's not going to bless you if you're not living right and doing right and being honest. God's not going to bless you in your deceit. God ain't going to do that. But he won't withhold any good thing from you. He won't withhold any good thing from you. The only thing you withhold from your children are the things that would hurt them. I'm going to tell you the reason some of us aren't blessed anymore is because we can't be trusted with it. Huh? We've all got children, don't we? We understand children. What happens with children sometimes is you know which one you can trust and which one you can't. You know how far you can trust them. And if you're a good parent, you're not going to give them something that's going to hurt them. You're not going to give the keys to the car, the family car, to a kid that's got 5 speeding tickets. Don't work like that. You're not going to give them a credit card whenever they didn't bring change back from the $20 for the loaf of bread you sent them to get. You know you can't trust them. Y'all don't get mad at me now because I'm fixing to tighten this thing down a little bit. You want to be different? You want to go to that dimension of more than enough? You got to be trustworthy. I asked my church this when I was preaching it. I asked and I looked at a guy and I said, "Hey, brother, if God dropped $1 million in your lap, what would you do?" He sat there and his eyes got big, big smile spread over his face. And he said, "I'd go on an around the world cruise." I said, "It ain't happening for you, bud. You ain't getting it. Reader's Digest sweepstake ain't coming." It ain't happening because you don't get it. You can't be trusted with money because you're going to go use it up on what you want to do, appeasing your flesh. That'll put you back in Egypt. This is kind of tough. But can God trust you? Can you stand success? I mean, some kids, you can't let them go home with their friends because they're going to go to the friend's house and break windows out. You know that little fella is a meanie, and you can't let him get out. You got to keep him under your thumb. Sometimes the reason we're not blessed any more than we are is because God's got to keep us on our knees. Because we can't be trusted with more. If you can be faithful in the little things, if you can be faithful in the little things, God will expand it. Y'all know the story of the talents. What do they do with it? I mean, the person who done well with it, God took from the guy that didn't do anything with it and gave it to him. Can I get specific with you here right now? If you've got a minimum wage job and you can't pay your tithe right and you can't support the church, don't get mad at me now. Y'all was with me on the bean sprout story, but this one counts. Y'all are a little more friendly looking over here. I'm going to come over here and talk about it. It's scaring me over there. If we can be faithful in the little things, you get $10 for babysitting. Well, I'm a kid. That's $10. You give a tenth of it. You return it to God because it's not yours in the beginning. It wouldn't have happened if God hadn't given it to you. If you can't do it for $10, he ain't going to give you $100. So Some folks can do it on $10, but when it gets to be $100, oh, that's $10. I'm only going to have 90 left. Well, you know, you can have 90 or nothing. I mean, what do you want? You want the blessings of God on it. You learn how to be faithful over the little things, and God will start blessing you with the bigger things. Come on, I'm preaching something that will revolutionize you and your world and this church. This church will go to the next. I'm so impressed with what God is doing. But if there was no limit on the finances, what could this church affect around here? God is going to do it through you. God is going to do it through the things that you do. You're going to find money in the fish's mouth, and you're going to find it here, and you're going to find it there. But you're also going to be able to reach into your pocket. It makes it difficult whenever you go to somebody and you say, you know, I'm serving a God that's just awesome. My God, he can do this and he can do that, and we're bragging on God, and then they see us struggling to make ends meet. Where's your God now? Now, I understand God tests all of us. God, don't misunderstand. You understand it took me 3 months to flesh all this out. There's a lot of details that and I know that I can't get it all in here in this service tonight. But I want you to understand that if all things considered, God's going to bless you and God's going to take care of you. And he wants to do an amazing work in your life. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You may not want it. You may not need it. You might be fine just like you are. And if you're fine just like you are, God bless you. We love you. We're glad you're here. Let's keep having good church. I'm not interested in throwing anybody away. But I'm telling you, what would happen if just 15 or 20 men got a hold of this? 15 or 20 women got a hold of this? What if there was 20 or 30 millionaires in this church? Are you shaking your head, brother? Brother Shade Tree Mechanic Man? What was it? What's his brother? Not Shady. I'm going to call you by your real name. Ladarius? Darius. He was shaking his head no when I said it. I don't know. You know, sometimes you shake your head no whenever you really getting it or when you don't want it. It's same motion. I'm just trying to say, when I said millionaire, he started shaking his head. That's the right. There you go. Now you got it. Pick me. Pick me. I want it. If you don't want it, I want it. You need to jump up and say, if he's going this way, I'm going this way. We're not talking about being self-centered. We're talking about being able to write the check for the vision. God wants to use somebody. God is looking for a funnel that he can flow his glory, his anointing, his power, his majesty. God wants to do it. Will you make yourself available? Pick me. Somebody say it right now. Pick me. Pick me, God. If you don't believe I'll do it, just try me. If you don't think I'll be faithful, you just try me. I'll tell you what you do. You start doing it right now. You start doing it right now. Somebody says, well, I don't have enough to make a difference. Yes, it does. It may not make a difference in the bottom line of this church, but it makes a difference in the bottom line of your life, because God is keeping perfect records, and he's watching what you're doing, and he's watching how you're doing it. And if you can be trusted... We're fixing to have some fun at these guys' expense. This okay, Pastor? Use them for an example. I'm just going to illustrate. No, you're good. You were the yes man, right? Yes, sir. This was a no man over here. This is Shady right here. If I said, look, man, if I was your parent and I said, look, here's $20. Somebody let me hold 20. Anybody trust me? I don't know if you can trust Shady though. I'm gonna give you this $20. I want you to go down to the store and I want you to get a loaf of bread and I want you to bring it back to the house. We need a loaf of bread. And I give that to you. And the next time I see you, I say, hey, where's the bread? Oh, it's in the kitchen. Okay, where's my change? The first thing you shouldn't have to do for responsible people is ask for the change. It's not the will of God. And I love the way y'all do it, by the way. And that's why I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But I don't like when you get up here and have to say, okay, we're going to raise money for the building fund. How many of you got? Well, you get a, come on, it's like an auction. That's belittling the kingdom. That's not the way it ought to be done in the kingdom. You ought not have, God ought not have to ask you for his money back. You ought to be coming there saying, hey, man, here it is, Pop. We do kind of look alike, don't we? Now, this guy, he's a yes man. I give him the $20. He goes and gets the bread. He gets it, and he comes back, and he said, Daddy, here's the bread, and here's your chain. All right. You get it. You don't get it, bro. I'm sorry. Next time I'm going to send somebody to get bread, who's he going to get the money? The yes man's going to get the money. I'm not going to send it with a guy that I have to pry it out of his cold, dead fingers.
Y'all see me?
Hey, y'all just stay right here with me for a minute. Y'all look good standing there. Listen, if we can become like this, that God ain't having to pry it out of us. Can I ask y'all it's going to seem really silly, but can I ask y'all a question? How many of you want God to love you? This is a serious question. It sounds real trite, but let me ask you. I'm going to look at you section by section. Do you want God to love you? I mean, really? Back wall? This section? Sound booth? Section, do you want God to love you? That's good. What over here? You want God to love you? You really want God to love you? The Bible said there is a simple formula. Some of you is ahead of me. God loveth. That's no great revelation. But it is a fact because it's in the Word. The Word says it. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Seen a guy with a ball cap on the other day. He said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And I'm like, something's wrong with a hat. You need to get a Sharpie and mark out that middle line. It don't matter whether you believe it. If God said it, it's settled. End of the story. Huh? And if you can be happy like this man and just come back with the bread and come back with the chain and say, here it is, Daddy. Thank you for trusting me to go. I enjoyed driving the car. I enjoyed it. I see some of my friends and they were walking or they were riding their bicycle and I was driving your Cadillac, Daddy. I enjoyed it. You liking that ripstick, buddy? You like your scooter? Y'all getting the picture. You riding around in Daddy's Cadillac. You because he can trust you with it. You give it to him, he's going to go to the club. He going to roll all the windows down and turn on the wrong music. He can go to the car wash, sit there for a couple of hours. He ain't washing the car. He's watching. He ain't watching the car. I'm just giving you a scenario of how it works in the real world. But whenever you are trustworthy, you go do what Father asks you to do, and you come back and you give it to him. And guess what? On Friday night, Daddy's going to look at you and say, "Hey, man, there's a youth rally in the next town. Here's the keys to the Cadillac. You go. You have a good time. Me and you, we got to chop some firewood. You don't get it. We got to work on you for a little while. Just enough. He's barely living. He's a son, but he's just barely. He's staying in the house because he can chop wood. This guy, somebody said, God ain't that way. Well, I'm just telling you, God is not going to reward laziness and slothfulness. God is not going to reward dishonesty. He's not going to bless you if you're not doing your part. He will bless the guy that's doing his part, and he will bless the guy. The Bible said, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. If you just flip that coin over and look at the other side, the unwilling and the disobedient is barely going to get by. Right? Is that a stretch? I'm just telling you, if we can learn how to be faithful and honest with God, if we can be faithful over the little things, he will make us ruler over many, over much. And abundance. God wants to take you beyond this dimension of just enough. Is anybody tired of just living from payday to payday? Is anybody tired of just getting by? Is anybody want to go to that level to where we can do whatever we need to do, when we need to do it, and ever how we need to do it? Now, there's a fine line. I want you to hear this, so hunker down. There's a fine line. I preached to you this morning about passion, purpose. You have got to maintain your passion and purpose for the kingdom first. You've always got to be kingdom-minded first. Everybody say first. God is not going to bless you if you're going to go chasing after your own rainbows. You got to be focused on the things of God first. If you'll take care of those things first. First, the leftovers in God's kingdom is better than the best that the adversary, that the world has to offer. The little Gentile woman said, "True, Lord, I know I'm a dog and I don't get to sit at the table with you, but just the crumbs is enough that falls from the master's table." The crumbs from God's table is enough and more to sustain anything that we ever need. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking everything that is in the main meal is wrapped up in that morsel. Talked to you about cornbread a minute ago. When a crumble of cornbread flakes off when it's really right, you know what I mean? Really right cornbread, it ain't gonna be gooey or gummy or, man, it's whenever you break it off, it's going to crumble a little bit. Whenever it falls down on the floor, that morsel that falls down on the floor, it has every single ingredient that the pawn has on the table. Can I tell you, whenever you look at the heaven-sized pawn on the table of God and the crumble that falls to the earth and lands right in front of your nose, it is going to have everything in it that's represented. It is an earnest of our inheritance. It is a little tidbit of what's to come. Let's transition. Are you ready to go new life? Really a new life? Not just a middle life? Not just a kind of halfway change life? New life. Are we going to live up to our name? Are we? Do we really have new life? Are we still got one foot over here and one foot? We're just kind of in that transitional period. No. There is transition. There's people in here that's in transition. There's people that's never heard preaching like this. But some of you have heard pastor preach something like this many times. Why aren't you going? Something's got to shake you out of that place. Because I believe God's going to do a work. I believe God's going to do it. I believe God's going to have a powerful church. I believe God's going to do amazing things. And if he's not going to, he's going to use somebody. Pick me. He's going to do it with somebody. Why not me? Let it be me. Let's shake the grasshopper mentality. Can you see yourself writing a $100,000 tithe check? I'll get crazy on you now. Maybe you ought to get you a tithing envelope and practice. See if you know how to write that many zeros. Can I do it? Can you do it? Somebody said, oh, that's silly. We was having a church service similar to what we were having like this at home. And it was during the middle of preaching this. And I said, how many are sick and tired of driving that old car you're driving? One young guy, single young man, been in church about 3 years. He raised his hand up in the air, just come, didn't have any help, anybody. He raised his hand. He had a little old clunker truck. He put his hand in the air. He said, I do. I need a new car. I said, man, can you see yourself driving? Yes, sir. I said, okay, do it. Huh? Do it. What do you mean? I said, do it. Just drive. I said, you don't get it. You got to do it. I mean, come on. Well, it kind of looks stupid. It kind of looks crazy. Some of you sound like Naaman outside the prophet's house when he said, go dip 7 times in Jordan. What? What's that? I don't get it. Faith defies logic. Practice writing a $100,000 check. Just ride and see what it feels like. See what it does to your spirit. See if you want to put it back in your pocket or if you willingly would bring it to God. How do you feel about it? How many of you want to go beyond this dimension of just enough? You really want to go there? Do you really want to go there? What are you going to do about it? You're going to have to change the way you think. You're going to have to get out. You're going to have to shake off this mediocre feeling. You're going to have to start looking your face in the mirror and saying, I'm a child of God. God loves me. I love him. He owns everything in this world. Some of you are just looking at yourself saying, look at there. The same little old grasshopper. Look at my old bony knees sticking up. I'm just barely surviving. About to starve to death. Crawling around here in the grass. Somebody needs to shake that spirit. Somebody said, well, Al, that's the way it's always been. We ain't never had nothing. We ain't never. Is it new life or not? Does old things pass away and behold all things become new or not? Are you connected to the real deal? Are you connected to some phony? We got to believe that what we're connected to is the real, genuine. I'm telling you, we're not serving a God. You can laugh at him if you want to, but somebody's going to get what I'm preaching tonight. Somebody's going to get a hold of it. Somebody's going to see it and say, it's going to be me. Yes, it's going to be, I'm, pastor, is it in your heart? I'll pay for it. You do what you want to do. I'm ready to write the check. You want to build? Let's build today. Don't wait. I got the money. Let's start. Let's do it right now. You want to buy another property? Let's buy that. Let's just buy them both. It's hard to wrap our grasshopper mind around that kind of stuff. But it's time that we start believing. There are people that are wasting millions of dollars in Las Vegas tonight. And we, the children of God, are sitting around here struggling to pay the utility bill. It's not the will of God. Come on, somebody. We need to sell out. I preached this message to a little country boy, Mississippi. I'm gonna try to bring it to a quick close. He was a house painter. And I talked to him today. And usually when I tell this story, I have him stop all the recording devices. But I talked to him today. And he said, "You understand, I'm pastoring an 85-year-old church that's stuck in a lot of tradition. He's been picking up some guys, bringing them to church. One of them prayed this morning and said, 'Pastor, you told me you want to get baptized. What are we going to do? You're not here.' I said, 'My God, man, baptize him. I ain't got to be there to baptize him. I ain't the one that's going to save him. It ain't in the name of Jerry Rowley that's going to save him.' Well, Pastor, I didn't know. I don't want to. I said, 'By the way, there's another lady that got the Holy Ghost Wednesday night. She needs to be baptized. Baptize them both.' This guy, talked to him today. So I'm going to tell his story about you tonight. You care? No, tell it. Coming to my church, he was just in that dimension of just enough. Just getting by. Painting houses. Day after day. Working 60, 80 hours a week. Just getting by. Miss Wednesday night church. I said, "Hey, bro." I said, "You can't get ahead doing that." "Well, I got work to do, Pastor. I got to do it. If I don't do it, nobody ain't going to do it. I got to do it. I got to get it all I can get." I said, "It ain't working. It ain't going to happen. God ain't going to bless you." "Well, I don't see how it can get done if I ain't doing it." You got a grasshopper mentality, son. You need to change your mindset. Put God first and see what happens. So he said, "Okay, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to do it out of obedience, but I don't see how it's going to help me." So he did. Next job went better. He said, "Pastor, I noticed that my profit went up. Things are better." Now, he works a lot of guys in the church. It doesn't matter where they're working. It doesn't matter where they are. Whenever it comes up, they will take off. All day Wednesday if they have to. He don't make his men suffer for taking off that day. He pays them right on, just like they was at work. If it means getting back to church. You know what happened? He called me. He started seeing it. He started understanding, putting God first, and realizing, believing that God could bless him. He came to me one day and said, "Pastor, I want to do more. I want to be a blessing to the kingdom. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing. I just want to be a blessing. I'm living okay. I'm not wanting necessarily any more for myself, but I want to affect the king. I want to be a difference maker." I said, "Okay, just start praying. Start believing that God will do it for you." And he said, "Okay." It seemed so trite, so empty. But, you know, he came to me about a month later. He said, "Pastor, somebody told me about 1,200 acres for sale." I'm like, "Come on, man." I kind of slipped into that grasshopper mentality there for a second. 1,200 acres? Yeah, 1,200 acres. I said, "Okay." So I got out of it. I said, let's talk about it. Let's see what we can do. "Where's it at?" He told me. "What's the thoughts on it?" "It's just an awesome deal." So we looked at it. There was no way we could get it. We didn't have enough pennies. We were all trying to wrap our mind around what I'm preaching to you tonight. I said, "You know this particular man that you do a lot of work for?" "Yes." I said, "You need to go to him and tell him about this property and see what he says." "Well, Pastor, he might buy it out from under me." I said, "What difference does it make? We going to sit here and die? We might as well go show ourselves to the enemy." There's another message in that. So he goes to him and he sits down at his desk. He said, "Mr. Sims,
I found 1,200 acres. Oh yeah, really? Where? Well, I would like to buy it. I didn't know if you want to. He said, I'll tell you what, if you'll tell me where it's at. He said, you know, I've always treated you fair. He said, the guy's worth over $100 million. He said, I will take care of you if you'll tell me where it's at. He said, okay. He told him where it was. Got through. They bought the property. And he called him. Told this guy in my church, he said, come to my office, I have a check for you. He said, I'm going to take care of you, like I said. My man ain't touched nothing. Didn't do anything. He drives up, walks in his office, sits there and talks a minute. He slides him a check across the desk, $50,000. He looked at it. He said, something just kind of came over me, and I didn't feel right about taking that check. He said, so I excuse myself, and I'm out here in the bathroom, and I'm calling you, Pastor. What do I do? I said, don't take the check. I was afraid you was going to say that. Man, you don't know what $50,000 would do in my life right now. I said, listen to me. Tell him you will take your finder's fee in property. Let him give you land. I don't know if he'll do it. He said, it ain't going to hurt to ask. You always got $50,000. Just ask. What does it hurt to ask? So he goes back in. He said, Miss Sims, he said, you know, I've been thinking about this while I was in the restroom talking to my pastor. Would you consider cutting me out some of that 1,200 acres and giving it to me instead of giving me this check? He said, man, I thought you'd be just tickled to get $50,000. He said, I know it's a great finder's fee. He said, but you know, I want land. I'd love to have some land. He said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. So, and he got the land plats down, called his guy in. They began to look, and there was a road that cut through it and a creek that kind of cut through. He said, how much land is on this side? And they're talking to the surveyor, and they're looking at all of it. And I don't hold me to these exact numbers, but I believe it was like 160 acres. He said, you know, he said, Mark, he said, I'm gonna let you have that 160 acres. He said, you're going to owe me a little bit of money. He said, but you pay me when you can, ever how you want to do it. No interest. I'm just going to give it to you. You do what you want to. 160 acres. He subdivided it. Started selling it off. I can't remember the exact numbers, but I believe he's got somewhere close to $30,000 a month coming in. They're just bringing it. He's got a little slot cut in his door at his office. He ain't even there to take it. You know where he's at? He's at church praying, or he's out on outreach, or he's driving a van, or he's baptizing somebody tonight. Still driving his 2007 Yukon. Still living in the same house. His financial statement at the beginning of this year, $8 million. 12 years. He went from $40,000 a year to being worth $8 million. I'm not preaching to you pie in the sky. I'm telling you something that is happening in our... The sad thing is not everybody's getting it. I've got a few of them that gets it. Of the 175 or so we have, there's just a handful that's getting it. But I'm going to tell you what those handful are doing. They're making a huge difference.
Next week, I'm able to fly to Roatan, Honduras, and revamp the training center. Some of you have been to there. I'm on my way there next week to get it ready for 3 ITWs that's coming up for Hope Corps. You know what? I'm not taking a dime from Hope Corps. You know who's taking care of it?
You know who's taking care of it.
I'm taking me, Brother Stephen Jones, and another contractor from a church. We're not looking for a handout. We're looking to hand stuff out. We're not looking for a handout. We're wanting to hand out. We're not looking to get. We're looking to give. That's what I'm doing here this weekend. I'm sowing it into your life and into your mind, into your spirit. I don't know how many of you are going to get it, but if I was you, I'd be saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. My 25-year-old son was working at the Chevrolet dealership selling cars. And I know we got guys in the car business. There's a lot of money to be made in cars, but he was just an employee. He was working and everything was going good. You know, when it tanked, I think in like 2008 or 9, it all went down. He went down to where he was getting his minimum. He could have made more money flipping burgers at McDonald's. He's married with a baby. He's like, Daddy, I'm so embarrassed. I'm humiliated. I can't take care of my wife. I can't take care of my children, my daughter. I'm sad. I can't do it. I can't hold my head up. I'm struggling with self-esteem. I said, well, son, what are you going to do about it? He said, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I said, well, you need to decide what you want to do about it. He goes to work and he's in this state and his boss comes to him right in the middle of all this. Calls him in his office, the owner of the Chevrolet dealership, Chris Posey and Laurel, calls him in his office. He said, son, I don't know what you are, but you ain't a car salesman. Maybe you ought to go down there in the wash bay or sell parts. You're not a car salesman. We're talking about a guy that had been his top salesman. Sometimes God has to kick you out of the nest to get you to move to the next dimension. We was in revival, Brother Martin Ballestero. My 25-year-old son, we drove by. We were going to pick him up that day for lunch. He walked out the back door of the dealership, and I seen that look on his face. He didn't want to do it. He was biting his lip. But I looked back at him, and I seen him. He was crying. It wasn't a sad cry. It was a determined cry. He had his jaws clenched. I could see the muscles flexing in his jaws. That man had just done him the best favor that he'd ever done. Don't let that have to happen in your life. Don't let you have to be fired from your job to get you to the point to where you can believe God will take you to the next level. But if God will do it if he has to do it. My son went home. He told me, he said, Daddy, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. He said, I'm not going to take this. He said, I go to church. I love you. I love the church. I'm doing all I know to do. He said, and I'm going to tell you all it was a test. He said, Daddy, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God. And I said, son, you pray. I'll be praying with you. He came to me. He said, Daddy, he said, I've got a dream. I want to open a health club. I said, where are you going to open it? He said, Bay Springs, little town, 2,500 people. I said, are you serious? You want to open a health club in that little dinky town? Dad, that's just what I feel like. I couldn't abate him. I couldn't knock him down. He was smiling. He was happy about it. Let's do it. I said, you, yeah, I'm good. I think it's the right thing. I feel right about it. I feel like God's going to do it. If you can imagine, y'all have 24-hour fitness gyms like, what are they? What's some of the ones that are 24-hour fitness? Snap, and there's another one that's big. Anytime, you understand what I'm talking about. These 24-hour deals where you just swipe your card, go in there and do what you do. That's what he had in mind in a town of 2,500 people. He said, I said, where are you going to do it? He said, well, Dad, you know you have that warehouse. I said, yeah, I do. He said, won't you let me have it? Now he's making me buy into his faith. But what difference does it make? It's not doing anything anyway. It's just sitting there. It was a good deal. I bought it because it was a good investment. I didn't know it was going to be for my son. But guess what happened? He goes up there, starts working on it, cleaning it out, painting it up. He put his world into it. He started downsizing his life that was already downsized. And he began to work. He began to do it, paint it up, come up with his logo. He didn't go buy an Anytime a Fitness franchise. Didn't buy Snap Fitness. He said, I can do this. God's going to help me do it. He'd never done it before. You know what? God started making him, putting him in with the right people. He started making the right connections. Met a guy in Virginia that owned 40-something gyms. He said, son, I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to hook you up with all of my suppliers and everything that I do. The day we had the first opening, the grand opening, we already had, we had 100 members. They were putting the lock system on the door where you swipe the card. People were stepping over the tools to come in to join. And I'm sitting back shaking my head like, how in the world is this happening? As we stand here tonight, he is opening his third one and partners in two more. And I don't know what all, I just know the income in that one. I don't know what it is. But he's got 600 members in Bay Springs in a town of 2,500. And it averages about $30 a month. You can do the math real quick on that. 3 and 6 is 18. And you put some more zeros on there. It's 18,000. 18,000 a month. And it's about an 80% cash profit. He's walking away with $4,000 a week in his pocket off of one. I'm talking about a guy that's no different than you young men. Is he 28 now? 28 years old now. Just purchased 5 acres of land. Fixing to build him a house. I'm not talking about somebody that's got some kind of 8-year degree somewhere. I'm talking about just a country boy that loves God, goes to church, and he's just letting God bless him. He stopped seeing himself as a grasshopper. He stopped seeing himself as somebody else's doormat. And he said, I will be a difference maker. He's the first one up to give. He's the first one to provide. It doesn't matter whoever, whatever. It doesn't matter an evangelist, missionary, whatever it is he's given. If it's outreach, he's leading the pack. Don't back up. Somebody said, well, that can't be me. It don't work like that for me. I'm telling you, I could go on telling you more stories. There's more stories like that in our little church. As I'm standing here preaching to you, over 50% of the adults in our church are own their own businesses, are self-employed, or in upper level management in our little bitty sleepy town in Mississippi. If I was in New York City, you might have a problem believing that. But I'm in the same dimension that you're in as far as this world goes. If God can do it in Laurel, Mississippi, God can do it in Birmingham, Alabama. God don't love us any more than he loves you. You got to love him. You got to step up. God wants to do it. He wants to do it now. I've been preaching this message all across the country, and I'm loving every report that I get back. Brother Miles Young, I know he's preached here a good bit, and I think he may have been the one that told you about this, and I preached it there. He's calling me almost every day, telling me this just happened, that's just happened, this deal over here just happened, this is happening, that's happening. Other pastors are calling me, Pastor, Brother Alley, this has happened here, this happened there. You know, I can't wait to hear what happens right here at New Life. I believe that some of you are going to get it. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and say, God, I'm ready to get out of this dimension. I'm not preaching this so you can just live it up and go on around the world cruise. By the way, that guy, the around the world cruise guy, he got the eating on him. He came to me and said, Pastor, I told this story to the small group. He said, I'm about to lose my business. I'm like, no wonder with a mentality like that, you're going to lose it. You can't think like that and expect God to bless it. He owns an air conditioned refrigeration business. He said, I'm going to have to go work for somebody else. I said, it ain't going to help you. Why? I said, because you're not being blessed. There's something wrong with this, what you're doing. He said, well, I'm paying my tithe. I said, how are you paying your tithe? Well, whenever I think about it, when I get around to it, that don't work like that. Tithing is supposed to be first fruits. First fruits. You give it to God first. First. First fruits. He said, you really think that makes a difference? I said, yeah. Whenever you go to Wendy's and you fix their ice cream machine and you charge them $400 and you put a $40 part on, that means you had $460 increase. Before you pay for the part, before you do any of that other stuff, right then, right there, you sit down and you write the check for $46 tithes. Before you pay for the part, let it be the first fruit. Before you put gas in your van, before you... You think that's going to make a difference, Pastor? I'm giving 10%. I should just try it and see. About 6 months later, he tapped me on the shoulder one night at church. He said, Pastor, would you stop praying? I got more work than I can do. They're running me to death. I can't get to it, all of it. He said, I ain't leaving. I ain't going nowhere. He said, man, I got more work. I've got more money. I ain't never had this much money in my life. I'm the same guy, the same business in the same town. Same. You got to pay attention to the details. I preached a long time, and I know you're tired. And I know you're ready to go home because tomorrow's Monday. But I want to send you into your Monday with a different outlook than you've ever had. I want you to walk into your Monday with your eyes open saying, you know what? I believe God wants to lead me to an opportunity. I believe God wants to lead me into a situation. Come to the music, every what you do. I'm just crazy enough to believe God's going to do it for somebody in this place. Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. I'll do it. Try me and see. Just try me, God. Just try me. See what I'll do. If you want to use somebody at New Life, you pick me, and I promise you, Pastor won't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it. We don't have to worry about the expenses of outreach. We don't have to worry about the expenses of sending our children to camps and to quizzing. I'll pay for it. Air conditioned refrigeration guy that was about to have to quit and go somewhere else. We just invited a bunch of kids, picked them up on our buses, and we wanted to give them all some gifts. I don't know if we're doing it right or wrong. We just wanted to give them something. And he said, hold on, Pastor. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, I don't want anybody to know. He said, but you know what? He said, I want to buy them a bicycle. I said, who? He said, all of them. I said, hold on a minute. You want to buy all of them? I want to buy all of them a bicycle. Well, we're gonna tell everybody at church you did it. This is the first time it's been told publicly. But he wrote the check. Give them all a bicycle. We're talking about people that are willing to spend and be spent for the kingdom. And if you're willing to spend and be spent for the kingdom, you will always have something to spend. Well, what about the rest of it? I'm going to tell you, what you have left over is an abundance. It will be a land flowing with milk and honey, and the relationship you can have with God. If your mind, can you imagine how much peace you would have if you didn't have the financial turmoil that you have in your life? If you wasn't worried about all the things you're worried about right now, what kind of mindset could you have? Do you think your outlook would be brighter and better in the world? If you wasn't worried about how you're going to pay your utility bill, your mortgage, would your mindset be different? I know it ought not to, but we're human. We come in here and our mindset's changed. We're not worried about it. We're not, hey, I've paid it. In fact, I don't even owe a mortgage. That's what our mentality can be. I don't have, it's done. I done paid for that a long time ago. I don't have a car note. I paid cash for it. I'm done with that. I don't have to worry about that. I can come to church and when the offering's going to missions, I'm going to give. Offering's going for a revival, I'm giving. All of us going for outreach effort, I'm giving. We're going to build a new building, I'm giving. Why? Because I'm not worried about it. I've got more than enough. Do you want to live in that dimension? It is the will of God for you to live in that dimension. Come on, go with me. Come on. If you want to go to that dimension, come on. Just come. I mean, I don't want to have to talk you into it. I don't want to have to beg you to be blessed. If you want to go to that dimension, I want you to get as close to this altar as you can. I want you to come up here. I want you to come as close as you can. Come on, squeeze up. There's going to be more coming. Come on, close as you can. Come on. Come on. Ladies, bring your wallets. Bring your purses. Men, bring your wallets. Bring them, bring them, bring them. How many believe in prayer? Bring your purse. Bring your wallet. Everybody, whatever you got. Bring something. Bring your pockets. You want a blessing? Anybody want a blessing? Anybody sick and tired of being sick and tired? Does anybody want to get up? Maybe you need the Holy Ghost tonight. This is the right time to get it right now. You can get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to stop in between. You can go straight to the next level. You can pass go. You can get the $200 and keep going. There's no reason to stop. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Get up close. Come on. Come on, just keep squeezing in. Keep moving, keep moving, 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 moving. Come on. Closer, 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 closer. We're coming. Come on, we're going to get blessed. We're going to get blessed. They're coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, God's giving it away. I'm not bringing you up here to get an offering. I'm not calling you up here to give an offering. That's not what I'm calling you up here for. I don't care if you do it. That's between you and the pastor. I'm not calling you up here to take up an offering. I'm calling you up here to get an offering. I'm calling you up here to receive. Now, I want to talk to you just for a second. Can you hold one second? Just give me one second. Listen to me. I want to hear it. I want you to say it. You're not going to use the blessings of God to take you away from God. It'll be everything I've done be wasted in vain if you miss this. God's not going to bless you for you to be cursed. Just like you wouldn't give your kid the key to the car that you can't trust, he's not going to bless you if that's your mindset. Don't stand up here thinking, man, I'm going to get all these blessings and I'm going to... No, 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 no. You gotta have a service mentality. God, I'm gonna be a funnel. Let it flow through me. Am I getting that confirmation? Are you gonna do it? You gonna do it? You gonna do right? You gonna be right? You gonna stay right? You're not gonna let it mess you up. You're not gonna let it get you thinking crazy. You're not gonna go off doing some crazy stuff. You're not gonna miss church. You're gonna keep being faithful to church. You're gonna be faithful in tithing. You're gonna be faithful in offering. You're gonna do. If God pours out the blessings in your life, you're gonna do right. I'm charging you in the Holy Ghost. You gotta do right. Y'all up here serving, but y'all ain't getting left out of the blessings. You ain't getting left out of the blessings. You gonna do right? You gonna do right? You gonna do right? You gonna do right? God is gonna do it. Man, I'm telling you, I'm feeling so much Holy Ghost right now. You need to push up a little closer. You need to take another step. I'm feeling. Brother Sutton, I preach this message all over the place. I'm telling you, I feel so much anointing, so much glory, so much power. I believe it's going to happen. I believe there's teenagers in this building right now. They're going to own their businesses. They're going to be doctors. They're going to be lawyers. They're going to be professionals. Birmingham is going to be affected by new life. Alabama is going to be affected by new life. The United States of America is going to be affected by new life. The world, somebody say the world, is going to know new life. I can see the day coming, Pastor. Instead of handing out certificates and awards, for an awesome thing of Bible quizzing. We're hanging a medal on somebody's neck for doing it. Don't quit that. Keep on doing that. That's awesome. I'm not belittling that. But I'm telling you, I believe Pastor will be able to call somebody up here and say, come here, man. God, I want you to know this man just built a church in the Philippine Islands by himself. He just paid for it. Whenever you preach here, Brother Riley, this man was on oxygen struggling, but we kept ganging up on him. And he's doing well, and God's blessed him. He just built an orphanage in Africa. What do you want, ladies? What do you want? God is no respecter of persons. God will pour it out in your life. God will pour it out in your life. You don't have to be a man for God to favor you. Does anybody in the choir want a blessing? Man, does anybody feel what I'm feeling right now? Son, it's starting to flow like a river in this house. Come on, your faith is rising. Your spirit's rising. Come on, it's happening. It's working. It's moving. It's happening. Come on, come on, come on. Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Hallelujah. Can I get a little bit more monitor up here, brother? I want you to extend your wallet. I want you to reach there. If you don't have a wallet, I want you to pull a pocket out. I want you to turn it inside out. I want you to get your wallet out. I want you to get your purse out. Y'all got something up here? You got something, ladies? Come on, get it. Come on, we'll sing tomorrow. We'll sing next. We'll shout when the miracle comes. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get it. Go get them. Get them. Good Lord, have mercy. Are y'all in a hurry? Have y'all got a time for the Holy Ghost to do this? You got time for the Holy Ghost to do this? Come on, just, I'm not asking you to get money out of your wallet. I'm just getting you to open it up. God, for you to pour something in it. Open it up. I ain't going to look in there. Just open it up. Come on, if you ain't got nothing, get your pockets out. Pull them out. Get a hold of them. There you go. We got husbands getting their wives' purse for them. Come on, that's good. Come on, come on. Come on, wherever you are in the house, get it out. Let's go. Come on, God's fixing to do it. Somebody in this house, somebody in this house is going to be a recipient of the greatest blessing that's ever happened in your world. You're going to transition from that just enough dimension into that dimension of more than enough. He's going to make you the head and not the tail. He's going to... Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yes. Come on, ladies. Come back up here where you were. Bring your wallet. Bring your purse. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm loving it. Come on. Only where God can see it. God, if you'll fill it up, I'll pour it out into your kingdom. If you'll fill it up, I'll pour it out in your kingdom. Yay! Come on! Yay! Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak a miracle blessing into the lives of every man, every woman, every young person and child in this building right now. today. The money's not in your wallet yet, but they're fixing to sing. They're going to sing, "Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout now." Now I want you to shout. I want you to worship like the $1 million had already fallen.
Don't wait till the battle's over.
Somebody by the hand, put your wallet up. Shout now. Come on, shout now. Shout now.